Adventures in Research. Several hundred years ago, Shakespeare wrote, "Some men are born great, some achieve greatness, and some have greatness thrust upon them." The principal character of today's story, Nicholas LeBlanc, belongs in the third category. He had greatness thrust upon him, and all because of a cook who supplied the missing ingredient. This is Paul Shannon bringing you another transcribed story of science, produced as a public service in cooperation with the Westinghouse Research Laboratories. Although Nicholas LeBlanc was a Frenchman, the initial circumstances which led to his scientific contribution didn't happen in France at all, but in Spain. Our story begins shortly before the French Revolution. We're aboard a Spanish ship in a Spanish port, and the captain is noticeably upset.
Señor Colonel, I do not understand by what right you come aboard my ship and tell me what my cargo shall be. After all, you are an officer of a foreign power.
I am sorry, Captain, but those are my orders. Furthermore, I do not tell you what your cargo shall be. I merely tell you what it shall not be.
If our two countries were still at war, I could comprehend. But we Spaniards are now at peace with you.
Captain, believe me, this is none of my doing.
Oh, I suppose not. But why are you here? Why, pray tell me, are British troops still in Spain?
That, Captain, is a political question which I am not qualified to answer.
Well, perhaps you can tell me why, in my own country, aboard my own ship, I am treated as a prisoner of war.
A prisoner of war, Captain? Hardly.
And what do you call boarding my ship and telling me what my cargo will be?
There is a reason, a very good reason. You are carrying soda ash to France.
True, true, but by what right do you presume...
By command of His Britannic Majesty. Believe me, Captain, I have enough men to seize this entire port if necessary. I ask you to allow me to do my duty without bloodshed.
And what am I to do with my cargo? Throw it into the sea?
Put it aboard a ship bound for England. You will get a good price, I warrant you.
But I have already made an agreement with the French.
His Majesty's government does not recognize agreements with the French.
So, in the meantime, I must unload my entire ship, remove the soda ash, and then reload it on a ship bound for England, correct?
I am afraid that it is.
My men will complain.
They will complain louder if I force them at gunpoint.
¿Qué puedo hacer? You win, Señor Colonel. But only because I am unarmed. If I had even one cannon...
You would do what I should do in your place. You would fight.
Si, Señor.
I respect your bravery and your good judgment. Now let us have that soda ash unloaded, and quickly.
When news of the British action reached France, it produced an immediate and violent reaction in commercial circles. Soda ash was a vital ingredient in the manufacture of soap, paper, glass, textiles, and other chemicals. The French government was forced to act. Action took the form of a cash prize for making soda ash artificially, a prize which sent many French scientists scurrying to their laboratories, all of which didn't in the least concern Nicholas LeBlanc, personal physician to the Duke of Orléans. We meet him first in the Duke's bedchamber, where he's concentrating on the difficult job of taking the Duke's pulse.
Somewhat fast, Your Grace, but I am confident that with simple diet and sufficient sleep...
Really, LeBlanc, as my personal physician, you should know me better. A simple diet and sufficient sleep, indeed. Not for Philip, Duke of Orléans.
But, Your Grace, I was merely suggesting...
I know. And I suppose it is not your fault. You are a scientist. Well, what next?
I should like very much to listen to Your Grace's chest.
Is that all? Go ahead.
I thank Your Grace. If you will hold still, please. There.
Is it satisfactory?
I must have quiet, Your Grace.
Oh, excuse me. A pinch of snuff, LeBlanc.
Your Grace, I beseech you... Quiet.
Very well, then I will. Hey,
Indeed, Your Grace, I cannot...
Come, Lidlar. Forget your bedside mannerisms. I am not one of your village patients. I may someday be King of France.
King of France?
And why not? There is talk of revolution. Revolution against Louis.
Yes, but Your Grace, I...
Lidlar, have you not noticed how the rabble cheer my coach in the streets?
I have.
I tell you, they love me. They think I am one of them. Now, what more natural chain of events? They depose Louis, they enthrone me.
It is almost too much to comprehend.
Only for a man with a small mind. As for me, I can see it as clearly as I see the morning sun. Philip, King of France, and you, Leblanc, will be my royal physician.
Oh, Your Grace.
How would you like that, eh? Much more money, Leblanc. Much more than I give you now. Which means you must increase your reputation as a scientist. You must begin now.
But, Your Grace,
The Academy of Science is offering a prize of 100,000 francs for the discovery of a process for making soda ash artificially. If you should win, Leblanc, your name would be made.
But, Your Grace, I am no chemist.
Right now, you are both a mediocre physician and a mediocre chemist. Remember, Leblanc, if you follow me, you abandon mediocrity. I despise it wherever I find it.
I see.
Well, you are interested, eh, Leblanc?
Very much so, Your Grace. Very much so.
Leblanc knew, of course, that soda ash is sodium carbonate, and he soon learned that many chemists had struggled without success to prepare it artificially. The closest approach had been made by the French chemist de la Mettrie in 1789. He had heated salt in the presence of sulfuric acid. To the resulting sodium sulfate, he added charcoal and then heated again. The end product was chiefly sodium sulfide, but no one had been able to convert the sodium sulfide to sodium carbonate. Meanwhile, events in France moved rapidly. July 14, 1789, the fall of the Bastille.
The court blames the taking of the Bastille on the Duke of Orléans.
August 4th, 1789, the National Assembly adopts the Declaration of the Rights of Man.
The King orders the Duke of Orléans out of the country, to England.
June 20th, 1791, the royal family, attempting to escape from France, is stopped at the border and forced to return to Paris as prisoners. Yes, with each passing day, political history was made. But in Nicolas Leblanc's laboratory, a different kind of history was being written. And the key that unlocked the secret came quite by accident. One day, in the palace of the Duke of Orléans, Leblanc was at work in a small laboratory the Duke had provided when he had a visitor, the Duke's cook.
Open up, Leblanc! Open the door!
I am coming!
Oh, it is you, François. Come in. Sit down.
Thank you, Leblanc.
You seem slightly out of breath. In a hurry, François?
Not particularly, Leblanc. Why do you ask?
I thought someone might be trying to find you. The Duke, perhaps?
Him. It is an equality, he calls himself. And if I had my say, I would give him equality, all right.
Indeed. But the people, they love him, François.
They may love him today, Leblanc. They will hate him tomorrow.
But he is one of them, François. He sits in the National Assembly.
The people are not easily fooled. Soon they will know him for what he is. An opportunist, a pretender, and a fool.
Tell me, François, you are remarkably well informed for a cook. Does Citizen Mirabeau come every day to your kitchen to discuss politics?
Perhaps it would be better for you if you took a greater interest in politics, Leblanc. Instead of spending your time with beakers and chemicals and experiments, and for what?
For what do you think, François?
For the Duke. So he can wring the secret from you. So he can add to his own glory and the gold in his pockets. Leblanc, you are a fool.
You are very free with that word, my friend. I think it is you who are the fool.
Be careful what you say, Leblanc. I have connections.
In the Committee for Public Safety, perhaps?
You know?
That you are a member? Of course I know.
But you... The Duke, does he...
Does he suspect? I doubt it. Sometimes I think he is almost as big a fool as you.
He is an enemy of the people.
He is many things, my friend. And right now, he is suspicious.
Suspicious? Of what?
Of strange words that keep appearing throughout the castle. On the walls, the floors, the walks outside. Messages reading, down with the Duke. Death to Philip Equality. And all of these messages are written in chalk.
Written in chalk?
What did you do with it, my friend?
Do with what?
The chalk you had when you came in such a hurry.
But I did not...
Do not deny it. I may be a mediocre chemist, but even a mediocre chemist can recognize the difference between chalk dust and flour on a cook's hands.
I dropped it in that flask, LeBlanc. The one on the fire, there by the door.
How clever of you.
Someone was spying on me. I ran. I could...
No, of course. But you would select that flask. Oh, from the looks of it, you have ruined my experiment.
I am sorry, LeBlanc.
Oh, did you ruin it? This is most interesting.
LeBlanc, open the door.
The Duke.
One moment, Your Grace.
LeBlanc, there is more of the writing. More of it. Did you see? You... What are you doing here?
Well,
He is assisting me, Your Grace, in my experiments.
Yes, Your Grace.
Nonsense. I do not believe it. I think...
Think what you will, Your Grace. But here at last, in this flask, is the soda ash we seek. And I might never have found it except for your cook.
Wonderful. You mean he?
I mean Francois supplied the missing ingredient. Calcium carbonate.
Yes, the secret to preparing soda ash was the addition of calcium carbonate in the form of chalk or limestone. History records that LeBlanc won his prize in 1791, and, financed by the Duke, he built a factory for the commercial manufacture of sodium carbonate. But in 1793, the reign of terror swept everything before it, Duke, factory, and all. Only LeBlanc survived. In 1800, his factory was returned to him, but he could obtain no financial support for its operation. And so in 1806, worn out with disappointment, Nicholas LeBlanc died, a suicide. And while his method for making soda ash long since has been replaced by the better, cheaper Solvay process, to Nicholas LeBlanc does go credit for being the first to produce a basic chemical on a large scale from cheap raw materials, and by so doing, to speed the day of the modern chemical industry with his ill-fated adventure in research. And that's today's Adventures in Research, produced in cooperation with the Westinghouse Research Laboratories. These programs are broadcast to armed forces personnel overseas through the facilities of the Armed Forces Radio Service. Join us again next week for another transcribed story of science on Adventures in Research.